The reading today is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us daily our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, congregation. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, open the eyes of our hearts so that we might be able to hear from you as we open your word and think about it. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to picture this in your mind. Imagine you're new to Hong Kong. You just arrived, and you decide, good idea, to go to church. So you go to one church, and you're really warmly greeted by the pastors, the ushers, the greeters, and you introduce yourself a few times. Really, really good feelings about this church. But then after a few weeks, or even after a few months, you realize something. People are really friendly, but they don't seem to know your name. And I'm not saying this is happening here, although we had some people telling us, right, at Union, that they felt that we didn't know their names. I think it's happening everywhere. But I'm just wondering, why is this so important? Why are we so willing to be known by our names? And I believe that it's because names are really, really important. Names reveal a lot about ourselves. They tell a lot about who we are. Names tell us something about gender. They tell us where we come from, right? So, for example, if you see myself, Antonin Ficatier, well, you know, there are many chances that I'm from France, right? And I'll tell you where I am from. Although sometimes we want to change our names, right? I have a funny story of myself when I went to the United States to study, and I just wanted to fit into the American culture, and I was going to New Jersey, so obviously I changed my name, Antonin, to Tony. It sounds Italian, right? And my French name, Ficatier, was changed into Ficator. And I thought I would fit perfectly, saying, introducing myself as, hello, my name is Tony Ficator. Well, as you know, it didn't really work, and people still could tell that I'm from France. Names tell us about our country of origin and also about our ancestors. You know, in some cultures, your name will contain the word son or sen or ben, bin, and all of that refers to son of. So we have some Swedish friends here, and they might tell their kids to be called Caleb Telvikson, right? That would be the son of Telvik. So names tell you who your ancestors are, tells you about your past. Some names also tell you about your ancestors' activities. So some people have a last name that is like a job, blacksmith. It tells you a lot about what your ancestors were doing. They might be in the blacksmith business. Or some names even contain the place where you come from. My father's name, the full name, was Ficatier de Blangermont. And de, in French, means from. And in some culture, like Dutch or Germans, you also have this van, or fun, which means from somewhere. And this de Blangermont is a small village in Normandy, so you can actually find out precisely where I'm from. So names tell a lot about who we are. And I think that's why we are so sensitive about being known by name. And although a church might be really, really, really friendly, if people don't really know our names, we feel like we don't connect on a personal level. That's why we're trying really hard at Union to have name tags so people can actually see each other's name and call each other by name. So since names are so important in our culture, maybe that's why we're so eager to know God's name. And it's actually what's happening in the story we just read this morning about Moses. Just a little bit about the context of Moses. Moses was not born in Israel. He was born in Egypt. And at the beginning of the passage, there's this sense, this idea that the Lord has to remind Moses, has to remind him about his name. Because after many years in exile in Egypt, it seems like God's people forgot God's name. And you remember the whole sentence is about ancestor. I am the Lord of Abraham, your ancestor. Right? So, Moses asking the name of God is Moses wanted to be in relationship with God, but also wanting to know, who are you, God? And in the surrounding culture of Moses, it was the norm that the gods would have names. And even more than that, the gods will have names and will have kind of specific characteristics. So in the Egyptian culture, as you all know, which was a polytheist culture, there were many gods, and all the different gods would have different names and different attributes. There would be a god for the sun, a god for the rain, a god for the specific path that would lead you to death. I mean, just so many, many different gods. And I believe there is a little bit of that in the context of what is happening when Moses is asking for the name of God. Moses is asking, I want a specific name, and please, God, also give me your specific attributes so I can go back to the Israelites and tell them, okay, we have a God of the rain, and his name is something specific. But as you know, as we just read, this is not what is happening here. And God's answer to the question, what is your name, is a really, really mysterious one. This I am who I am, this answer has been debated many, many years by theologians. So it's so mysterious, right, to say I am who I am. So I'm just going to walk you through a few interpretations that theologians give about this I am who I am, which might help us to understand what is going on here. So the first interpretation is my favorite one. It's a light one, so don't get too offended. But it's basically God answering Moses, saying, I am who I am. It's a little bit like, none of your business, Moses. I don't know if you had this experience when you try to change someone, you know, and you say, hey, you know what, you should do this and that, you should be more kind. And we have this tendency to answer, you know, I am who I am, I'm not going to change, so none of your business, don't try to change me. And that's the first level of interpretation, this idea that Moses is, by asking God's name, is actually trying to change God. And God is answering, I am who I am, none of your business. The second interpretation actually analyzes the I am who I am with different tense. It's basically God saying, I was, I am, and I will be. So for theologians, it's this idea that God gives kind of an intemporal answer to the question, saying, I have always been, I am, and I will always be. Theologians also link it to Revelation 1:4, which I'm going to read just now. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. Right? This idea that we have the past, the present, and the future. God omnipresent. And we also have this idea in the expression the Alpha and the Omega, which is the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. The third layer of understanding is kind of an existentialist interpretation. This idea that by God saying, I am who I am, God is saying, I am being itself. I am the God of life. and whatever the other gods are, which we don't believe exist, but I am the God of life itself. But what is most commonly understood is that God, with this answer, I am who I am, and now we have to dig a little bit in the Hebrew version of what is said now. I am is four letters in Hebrew, YHWH, so YHWH, and the tricky thing of those four letters is it's impossible to pronounce, right? Try to pronounce YHWH. Well, it's not going to work. And so, you know, Israelites would say its interpretation would be Yahweh or Yahu. We don't really know how to pronounce it. And that's present all over the Bible. That's the name of God that is given. It's an impossible name to pronounce. And it's present 6,800 times in the Bible. So God, by just saying one more time, Yahweh, Yahweh, basically says, you know, this is my name. The Greek term for this technical, you know, those four letters is tetragrammaton. Tetra, four, grammaton. Tetragrammaton. So God, when asked about his name, is just saying over and over, my name is impossible to pronounce. Which basically means, my name is holy. And again, think about the surrounding culture that people had at this time of having a God with a really distinct name and with very specific attributes. God is saying, you know what? I am all-powerful, and my name is holy. You can't even pronounce it. Well, that's an answer to Moses, right? And I'm sure he had expectations, and now he's like, wow, what am I going to do with that? And this is also what theologians think is a turning point in what is happening in this Eastern culture. When there was an understanding that, oh, people have different gods, and I understand that your God of the rain is okay, but my God is a little bit more powerful because mine control the fire. You know, there will be like different cultures having different gods and kind of believing the fact that they are different gods. So that's the technical word, is monolatry. And we switch from monolatry to monotheism, which is basically the understanding that there is only one God. There's not a competition of different gods with one being better than the others. There's only one God. And God will reaffirm this concept in the Ten Commandments, right? I am the God, one and only. So at this point, you might ask yourself, well, okay, Anto just told us that names are really important, that they define who we are. At the same time, God didn't want to reveal his name. His name is holy, and he is all-powerful. So now, what do we do with that? How do we reconcile those two? Our human need to know the name of God and the holiness of the name of God. How do we reconcile those two? And the answer, as you might suspect, is Jesus. So when Jesus came, many people were annoyed at him because he would refer to God in a very intimate way. He would say, my father. And people were like, who are you to say that God is your father? Who are you? And I'm saying annoyed. It's actually a little bit more than that. They wanted to kill him. Because that's blasphemous, to say that God is your father. But Jesus introduced a whole new thing, a whole new type of relationship with our God. He introduced the Abba type of relationship. Abba means father, but in a kind of informal way. Some theologians translate it with daddy, right? It's this really informal way to refer to the dad. And so Jesus introduced this Abba type of relationship with the Father, which basically means all of us have access to this incredible and really intimate relationship with God. We are able to cry out and say, Abba, our Father. And the disciples obviously ask Jesus, hey, how shall we pray? Which is interesting, isn't it? Because obviously they had in their cultures some prayers already. But they asked Jesus because there was something so different about him. How shall we pray? And he said, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And in itself, it contains just everything I just told you. Jesus is not dismissing the holiness of the name of God. He's not saying, now you can just, you call God whatever you want and God's name is revealed. He's not saying God's name is revealed. God's name is still holy. Hallowed is this old British word which could be just replaced by holy. So holy be your name. He's also just reminding people, God is in heaven. We are on earth. Two different realms. But he is introducing this Our Father. This incredible, intimate relationship that we can have with the Lord. And don't get me wrong, this image of the relationship of us and God being like a child and a father existed in the Old Testament. It's not a new image that Jesus brought. But there was a sense of this parenthood relationship that was more corporate in Israel. It was more our people, children of God, and the Father. But Jesus brought it to a really intimate level, again, through this Abba, Daddy. So as today we are celebrating the Fathers, and what a wonderful opportunity it is to just remind ourselves that we have this child-father relationship with God, who made himself known by not revealing his holy name. His name is still holy, and we cannot pronounce it. But he made him known through his son and through this possibility that we have to cry out and to say, Daddy, Abba. Amen.